The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, we have some news in the NFL. Not a head coaching carousel bit of news, but a coordinator or times two coordinator bit of news from Washington, D.C., or at least outside of D.C. for current status. Adam Schefter reporting that the Commanders offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury is leaving the organization to pursue other opportunities. Kingsbury and head coach Dan Quinn met today and agreed to mutually part ways. Sure, they did.
Sure.
That's always the wording. By the way, the Commanders also, are they firing or demoting the defensive coordinator, Danny? Joe Witt Jr. is donezo, fired as the defensive, thank you, Danny, fired also as the defensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders. So, good God, pardon me, I'm emotional.
If we're playing the read between the lines game.
Oh, we don't even have to play the read between the lines.
Oh, okay.
But go ahead and say it.
I had a different comment when I just heard about it being Kingsbury, because I always think the mutually agree is always funny to part ways, right? Because, like, let's see what Kingsbury's next job is, and then it will kind of tell you how mutual this was, right? Yep. But if the DC got booted too, maybe it sounds like there's some pressure on Dan Quinn.
Ding, ding, ding. That to me is a headline.
Yeah.
But let me just say this. Let me just evaluate it for you. Cliff Kingsbury did nothing wrong. You had your starting quarterback from beginning to end of game this year for three games. The guy who got you to the NFC Championship last year played a grand total of three football games this year. That's the first thing. Not to mention, you didn't have McLaurin for a lot of those. You didn't have Debo. They barely all played together. The offense was not the problem because there's no way you can properly evaluate the offense. Right. Even if you think the offense, let's say you're like, they suck. Whatever your opinion is, like, there's no way to properly evaluate it. So what did he do wrong?
Yeah. Or you're evaluating with those players, which are not the players that you took to an NFC championship.
It's ridiculous. Like you should be dinged for whatever happened with the offense this year. Joe Witt Jr., on the other hand, I have said on this show, like Dan Quinn is a defensive guy. Yeah, remember, he's supposed to be the defensive genius. Joe Witt Jr.'s scheme, I said earlier in the year, minimized the contributions of Frankie Louvu. Frankie Louvu was spectacular last year. But he wasn't really allowed to freelance this year, and that minimized his game. But Dan Quinn, you're supposed to be the defensive guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
The same reason why Mike McDonald ought to be the head coach of the year, the coach of the year, is because he's the defensive guy. His team held his opponents to the fewest amount of points in the NFL. That's the name of the game. His side of the ball drives that team. Dan Quinn should be the one gone. Joe Witt Jr., fine, he should be gone too. But Cliff Kingsbury just feels like a fall guy thing, is exactly what you said. Dan Quinn trying now to preserve his job. He should be the one gone.
Would you, if you had the choice, though, you would have him gone? Still believe in Dan Quinn.
I'm just saying, if you're getting rid of someone,
yeah.
It ain't, what are we doing?
I hate this classic move in the NFL, right? It's like, hey, we're going to fire the coordinators. It's like, okay, so there's heat on the head coach, and the automatic answer is to get rid of two of the other guys.
I wish Cliff Kingsbury well, because he was spectacular.
I'm kind of just still a believer in both. I'm not too worried about your Commanders. Like, you got a good quarterback. I'm still a Dan Quinn guy. Like, it was not a great season, obviously. And yes, the defense, when you're a defensive guy, that is not a good look.
By the way, some of this falls on Adam Peters too, the GM.
Right.
Like, the guys you let go. The one, you know,
I mean, Jeremy
Chin here in for the Raiders. Jeremy Chin was a great player. Let him go. St. Juste is a Charger. Let him go. Cam Curl before that is a Ram. So's Emmanuel Forbes. Forbes, I don't mind so much. But, like, some of it is the decisions of who you kept and who you let go as well. So I don't know. I mean, it's like there's blame to go around. Cliff Kingsbury is not even like top five on the list.
I'm with you. I mean, that was going to be my excuse for next excuse for Dan Quinn a little bit. It's not like he really took over the most talented unit ever. GM's, it's got to fall. Part of that's got to fall on GM too.
Oh, yeah. Adam Peters, who could do no wrong for a while. Now, you certainly can say, yeah, but what about this? What about that? Before we get to our NFL power rankings, Cleve T.A., who's been on the show many times, he's on the Megapod all the time, hoping to get him on for the Megapod division round. And one of the great followers on Twitter, C-L-E-V-T-A. T.A. he's awesome in the NFL. He has great preview guide, which we still quote, right? As we're looking at award parameters,
he's the guy we quote on that stuff. He had this tweet, which I thought was fascinating. What percent of snaps, pardon me, did each NFL defense get to face either a backup quarterback or one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL, 30th or worse by EPA? The Patriots, with a ridiculous 61% of total snaps, came versus backup / bad quarterbacks. Can we go back to that one more time, guys, so I can finish the read here. Thank you. They only faced what I'd call three bona fide quarterbacks all year, Allen twice and Lamar Jackson. And Lamar was only for 12 plays. Otherwise, Dart coming off a concussion on Monday Night Football and Baker in the midst of his second half slump were the only other halfway decent quarterbacks. So here's the chart. This is a fascinating chart. It's, again, we watch all the football games, but analytics sees all the games better than we do. Patriots, 61% of snaps by opponents are one of the 30 or worse ranking in terms of the quarterbacks they faced. Jaguars are second most snaps faced, 30 or worse. Bears third most, 58% of opponents' snaps that the Jaguars faced were 30th or worst EPA quarterbacks. Bears, 50% of them. Let's go further down those. Rams are fifth, Broncos sixth. Okay, now we get into the sort of the middling area. We go further down, though, and we flip it. So Patriots, Jaguars, and Bears got the best of it. Another thing you can add to the Bears, just getting the best of it.
I was going to say, it feels like this could fit in anybody's narrative for if you want to attack the Patriots, Jaguars, and Bears. Yep.
But now let's go sort of towards the bottom here.
She's in the Broncos.
Okay, Texans are right in the middle, right? 38%. We've best defense in the NFL, I think most people agree. But if we go to now the opposite side of the teams that faced the fewest, right, percent of snaps versus 30th or worse quarterbacks, we go to the bottom of this. First of all, let me just say this. Of the playoff teams, the Panthers, right, they faced the second fewest of these, 18%. The Eagles faced 21%. They're the third fewest facing opponent snaps of 30th or worst EPA quarterbacks.
Panthers, most battle-tested team, huh?
And the Chargers, ninth fewest. Want to point that out for those of us who are high on the Chargers. By the way, it should be mentioned, non-playoff teams, the Vikings face the fewest, period. And that is if Brian Flores goes into any meeting for a head coaching job, he just needs to put up this graphic. Bam! And we're still awesome.
He's great. I hope he ends up with the Raiders.
Number one fewest face, and we're still the best, you know, one of the great defenses in the league. To our power rankings, ladies and gentlemen, let's do it.
Great stuff from Cleve T.A.
Cleve T.A. is awesome.
He usually includes that in his preview guide, right?
Birds.
Sorry. He usually includes that in his preview guide. I'm glad he gave us those numbers before the playoffs. So it's interesting to look at.
So Kelly tasked us with, let's just rank all 14 playoff teams. So we would throw out the Lions, like teams that would appear in here.
Yeah.
But aren't in the playoffs. We throw them out. So these are just the 14 playoff teams ranked. Rams are my number one. Seahawks are my number two. Niners, three. I didn't ding them because there's no Trent Williams in that game against the Seahawks. And their defense actually played okay. Texans, four. Best unit, perhaps. Best single unit, maybe, among all the teams exist on the defensive side of the ball for the Texans. Chargers are five. Eagles, six. Because I do think they have ability to flip the switch and make a run here. Jags, seven. You win that many in a row. Texans and Jags, you win this many in a row. How can you not be in the top seven at this point? Patriots are eight, only muted by the schedule they faced. And as we just learned, the snaps against terrible quarterbacks. Bills are nine. It's, again, no, I mean, what are we doing with some of that defense? Packers at 10. Bears 11. Here's where it gets a little controversial for folks. Bears 11, Steelers 12, Broncos 13, Panthers 14. Now, this does not reflect what I think the Broncos' chances are of winning the Super Bowl. Just because I think they're 13th of the 14 teams, again, struggling against the Chargers in a Trey Lance game. Not struggling, but like really couldn't break away from them. And we went through the laundry list of bad teams they beat by like 1 point or 2 point this year. I could go through it again. But they get the bye. So the power rankings are not reflective of what I think their Super Bowl chances are because, hey, man, you get the bye and then you get home games. But that's where I have them ranked. You, sir.
Yeah, for me, it's Seahawks 1, Rams 2. But I was more like a 1A, 1B thing, I guess, at this point. I'm kind of leaving them in that order because I switched that after the Seahawks beat them. They do have the bye. These kind of should be flipped. I'm going to go with the T1 at the top, or you flip them. I said last segment, if I had to make one bet in the NFC, it would be the Rams price. So I guess I should have them one. And then I resorted everything. Like you said, Broncos, they have the bye, but this is truly what I think about where the teams are at. They're number 10 for me. Okay. So Seahawks, Rams, 1-2. I went Texans, Jags, and it's mainly just based off what you said, man. We could pick apart these schedules and everything, but they are on both teams on fire. I believe in the Jags right now more than any team in the AFC. And man, that is, I say that with not much confidence behind it. The Texans, single best unit. I agree. Defense in the AFC. So that's why I have them 3, Jags 4, but the Patriots 5. It's another one I think we can pick apart all we want, but they've won a bunch of games. Put them 5. Then it's my two teams are okay, let's not fall asleep on them, right? Eagles, like you said, would we be shocked at any point if they flip the switch and come alive? Nope. Eagles 6, Bills, same thing. I don't know if Josh Allen just drags this team to a Super Bowl appearance. I won't be stunned. They're 7. Niners down to 8 for me. I think that was disappointing what we saw last week out of them. Packers 9, Broncos 10, Bears 11. Chargers 12, Steelers 13, Panthers 14.
So it's actually we don't disagree the most on the Broncos. We actually agree pretty closely on them. Chargers. We disagree the most on the Chargers.
That's what it was last week, too. It was Chargers and Packers. I had the Packers higher last week.
Okay. Chargers by far the biggest difference for what it's worth. We'll get to some college football. We've gone 2 hours without talking about college football. That is not allowed. Pete Futek, his thoughts on the semis next on a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game, live from Circa. Gil, Kelly, and a cast of thousands. We had tweets beating the book. Brian Morianen. Hey, I missed the start of the show because of meetings. What hour replay do I need to listen for Kelly's full segment on the greatness of Jameis for his 32nd birthday today? Oh,
wow.
Hour 4. It's coming up.
Big birthday. Big birthday, Jameis. Happy birthday.
Master of puppets. AFC is 100% the Bills, he says. I think your percentage is a little high, but that's just me. No one's talking about them, he says. Not now, when. To win the AFC, the way to bet them is per game, then roll it over every game. They might be a dog in one of them. This pays way better than the plus 475. Good luck, guys. You too. Andy V. You know what I love about Andy V on Twitter? When it comes to basketball, he's all on my side of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He says, watch your back, Gil. You're going after the NBA hardos. Prince, SGA. Was the Prince one again?
I don't know. You guys are in lockstep.
Love how glossed over OKC winning last season because in both game sevens, they got massive injury luck. Andy V, everybody. The RGB. He says the RGB, Georgia Southern University. I love people are doing this. Guys, the Super Bowl is within sight, so we can get a good wine recommendation that pairs well with the cloud of smoke because we really need that flyover lock. He's asking if we can get that from Drew next time. Brian Schaefer, 31. Thank you, Washington. Eagles fall in the playoffs. It'll be their offense. If they fail in the playoffs, it'll be their offense. Cliff to the Eagles, offensive coordinator next year. Oh, that'll make me sick. By the way, he adds, Shanahan did not sound optimistic that Trent or Pearsall will play this week. Really? That's not what I heard. But you could be right. TDG. Shocker, Gil has Niners power rated number 3. When will the Raiders arrive? And how about them commies? Slightly over aggressive with the cities he lives in. Believe me, I'm not a Niners fan. Not a Niners fan, not a Raiders fan, not anything except San Francisco Giants. So shocker, TDG, but you're incorrect. Let's talk some college football. Pete Futek is here. By the way, I am told that Pete Futek is in town, but didn't make it to the studio. This represents a poor effort. Pete Futek joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, the emperor of collegefootballnews.com. Pete, where are you and what's the story?
I'm just going to say you don't want this, what I would be presenting at the immediate moment after a night out in your city.
Interesting.
Vegas. Vegas didn't win, but it came close. I was a
Why are you here and where are you staying, by the way?
I'm staying at the Palatial Link, which, you know, it's an interesting hotel. Let me just put it that way. I stayed here because one of the people I'm hanging here with was staying here and said, yeah, I just stay here. It's cheap and it's fine. And it's cheap. And all right, I'm still alive and I will survive this. And they did have a, you know, open bakery at 2 o'clock in the morning, which was great. So that was good. But other than that, I don't mean to, you know, I have a gorgeous view of a wall, which, you know, out of my window. So that's nice.
What about
real quick? What about the Happy Jamie's?
What about the aroma? What does it smell like in there?
I don't know. It's kind of urban foot, I think, is the way I would describe it. It doesn't exactly smell like some of the other delightful establishments.
Thought I'd ask. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. What were you going to say? Were you about to say?
No, something? I was going to say it's the Jameis Winston stuff. Somewhere on my phone, because he was in the last BCS championship game, and he turned 20 then. And during like a little media session, the Florida State team, a couple guys came out and gave him a cake and stuff, and gave him a hat. He did his media session in a birthday, in a little party hat thing. So that was Jameis being Jameis like a million years ago. And yeah, that's kind of how he rolled back then and still now, apparently.
Remember that Final Four, the first BCS? We were all so excited, and Jameis got Florida State to the promised land. Well, we're down to four now, Pete. This just in. Miami, Ole Miss on Thursday. Oregon, Indiana on Friday. Let's start with Miami and Ole Miss. When I asked you last time, I'm like, hey, who do you think wins this all? And you said, I still think Ohio State. Well, not so fast, my friend. Miami, 3.5-point favorite against Ole Miss, who those two teams really knocked out the teams that everyone was sort of, you know, consensus scared of, if you will, Ohio State and Georgia, respectively. How do you view this game?
Yeah, in hindsight, you know, we should have kind of seen it coming. I mean, look, at least with Ohio State just never put their foot on the gas all year. They did not have whatever fire and blah, blah, blah. And speaking of poor effort, it was too late by the time that they turned it up against Miami. And Ole Miss was just fun. Look, you know, yes, I'm still not sold on the SEC this year. Georgia was, you know, looked good because they beat other SEC teams. They didn't look good against Georgia Tech. But look, it's all about if Miami could keep this going, why not? I mean, they've got the guys, they've got the NFL talent, they've got the starting 22. But what's weird is they didn't play like this all year. Like this running game, this power thing that they're doing, and the, you know, the way they're controlling everything with their defense, and Carson Beck playing in full control and command. They didn't do this during the ACC season. They kind of did once in a while, but it went away for a while. So as long as they can make Ole Miss play its current style. So they don't want to get really into a shootout with Ole Miss because they're just good at balling out. I just like the way that Miami's playing, and I think that they can get to the national championship and possibly win it. It's a long-winded way of saying I like Miami.
You like Miami?
Let's go.
Down to three. I another one. I got the I got Miami -2.5. Bought it down on Monday against Ole Miss. But just an awesome matchup between the Canes and the Rebels. Two teams, especially in Miami's case, but two teams where as we were approaching the the show that revealed who made the playoffs, there was a scenario, right? If BYU had won, that maybe both of these teams would have been knocked out.
Or if the committee had just stuck with their same criteria for Alabama and with BYU. They changed their criteria in mid-ranking and how they were doing things. So had they, either way, it would have been, you're right, we would have gotten probably Notre Dame instead of Miami.
Fezzik just texted in. He said, Pete's at the links. Please send search and rescue to help him before it's too late and it becomes a recovery mission instead of a rescue. That's from Fezzik live texting.
If you can't tell, I'm blinking, you know, in Morse code here on the phone to try to, you know, get
there. All right. What about Indiana, Oregon on Friday night? The rematch, if you will, from regular season game where Indiana really was the moment where I think a lot of people were like, oh, they are for real. Like, that was the moment, going in and beating Oregon. Indiana is now a 3.5-point favorite in this one, total 46.5. What do you think?
What would this be if they didn't do it? First of all, if you buy into Alabama, then you love that Indiana win because it was so dominant. But Alabama just wasn't that great. They weren't that great for the last second half of the season. You look at that gauntlet that everyone was, you know, talking about. Every single team on that gauntlet that was supposedly really good lost in their bowl game. Vanderbilt, Missouri, Tennessee, you know, right on down the line, you know, all these teams lost. And so Alabama was just okay. It's not to take anything away from Alabama or from Indiana, because they just absolutely were brilliant. It's the wrong way to look at it, but I'm still going to go with it. The exact same game the year before, I think I'm going to get one way or the other, but I think it was October 11th this year when Indiana beat Oregon. Well, I think it was like October 12th last year when Oregon beat Ohio State. And the rematch came and bad things happened. I don't think we're going to get that, but I do think Oregon is just going to win because they're better. I love this Indiana thing. This team is just so flawless. They do everything right. Their blocking scheme's brilliant. The receivers run the most precise routes in college football. Mendoza's great. But at some point, that talent level is going to kick in, and Oregon has more of it. They are playing so fast, so sharp, except for when they took everyone out against James Madison. And they're the one team that held Indiana's offense down in that one game that they lost. I think Oregon pulls this off, and it's Oregon-Miami for the national championship.
Wow. Pete, we can't be normalized, though, to what Indiana did to Alabama, right? Can we at least say, I know you were downplaying Alabama, but Indiana destroyed them in a way that we have never seen done of an Alabama team in memory. Forget recent memory.
Everybody forgets the Florida State game, okay, by the way.
Florida State
did the exact same thing. But yes, I know what you're saying.
I'm let's put it this way. I have an Indiana 10-1 ticket to win it all. I hope you're wrong.
I could be. Yeah, I'm not sold. 1,000% sold on it. But yeah, they're great. But yeah.
And Indiana,
you're right.
I'm saying, and this is the last time we can ever even utter Indiana has. And I don't know. I'm not even sure if this is true, but you're saying Indiana has worse talent than Oregon. Signetti doing big things in the transfer portal. We may never be able to even suggest that again. You would acknowledge right after this year.
That's just a thing for another day. I'm not really sold on that transfer portal talent, but yes, they are that good. They could absolutely win this.
Pete Futak, everybody. Just cry if you need help, or blink twice, as you said, if you need help. We'll get to you.
Yeah, we won't be able to get there.
Next time we'll see him in the studio.
Please help me. Thank you, guys.
Peter Futak, at Pete Futak, FIUTAK, collegefootballnews.com. It's where he does his thing. A little coach talk, a little sports talk radio-ish next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro, get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. Sign up now and get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus expert picks and prop data throughout the NFL and college football playoffs. Get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Bobby Geddes, a little behind today, but my favorite part of the show so far was Drew stretching out his arms to answer the wine question. That was hilarious. But many thanks to Drew, who gave me several wine recommendations for my Italy trip last year. Yeah, he gets into it. He's like, he stretches and then he answers.
Dude, it's like, I get wrapped up in, and you know what I was literally thinking this time around was, I don't know that I'm as passionate about it, or is there something in my life that combines two topics that I enjoy so much together like that? And it's
which two topics in Drew's wine and
he loves his alcohol. Uh-huh. And it's the dirt. It's the ground. The man's a scientist about the ground. Gotcha. He gets to combine the science with his passion.
He's a seismologist.
Yeah,
by trade.
Exactly.
That's right.
It's like, I don't think
When I do that couch.
Sports and money, I guess. I guess that's the easy answer.
I mean, that is kind of the thing, right?
That is the thing.
Why was I fat? I was avid baseball card collector, and then the Beckett price guide came out. And I'm like, this is my heaven.
Dude, the Beckett price it's guide just built was into awesome.
You. Yeah, it's just built into you. When I do my Kalshi, will there be an 8.0 earthquake by the end of the month segment, Drew is my guy as a seismologist. Xavier82, Jacob, he says, with the mutual parting of ways with the Commanders, where do we think Cliff Kingsbury goes? And you don't think one of these head coachless teams would dare giving him another shot? I don't know, man. Like I said, in case you missed it, I don't know how Cliff Kingsbury gets fired after all this. Jaden played 3 games, beginning to end this year.
I mean, I guess the other one I'll bring up on the heels of that tweet is, I mean, also maybe college, right? Like, is that a possibility?
There's that. That's right.
I guess I don't think he's getting an NFL head coaching job. But
it wasn't just Jaden. It was everybody. It's ridiculous. Buddhist man on the wine. He says, how troglodytes like me hear this now weekly wines with Drew segment. He says, blah, blah, blobbity, blah, blue. I ain't hear a word you said. Lance Schaefer, Bills, if not now, when? Responding to the other tweeter who said, if not now, when? He says, the answer to the question is simple. Never. That said, I love the Jags. I've been putting in futures on them for weeks, but it worries me how many people like the Jags, though. Yeah, everybody's on the Jags, including myself, by the way. Chrissy says, soil technician is the phrase you're looking for.
Soil technician. There we go.
Can we shout out Stormy, by the way, was on the broadcast last night. We were talking about the game. We never mentioned that she was on the sideline last night.
She did a great job.
Did a wonderful job. Was it Nashville?
Nashville. Yep.
Dave Fleming, the play-by-play guy, speaks, as we all know Stormy to be, he speaks glowingly of Stormy. So good for her that she got that gig. She'll be back on Money Moves today, tomorrow? I don't know.
I think today.
Okay. Back on Money Moves today. Look at her.
Wow. Look at the turnaround.
Flew in from Nash Vegas into Las Vegas.
Is she here or is she in Dave Ross's? She is here this morning.
She'll be here. Okay. Good for her.
Because she did do a show last week out of our Kentucky studio.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think the first person to visit Dave Ross. Really? You know, from Feast.
Was he?
Not general, Dave. I'm sure you get a lot of visitors.
Could he even speak after all these coaching moves? By the way, coaching moves. Can I ask the mainstream media question about these coaching vacancies?
Shout.
6 coaching vacancies. 4 came available in the last, Sunday night, Monday morning. 2 were the interim jobs with the Giants and the Titans. There you see the 6 total head coaching openings on the left. General manager openings in Atlanta and in Miami. Remember, Miami had an interim, and Atlanta did the whole coach and GM firing yesterday with both, or 2 days ago with both Morris and Fontenot. So the mainstream media question on this, before we get to betting odds, because these are bettable, the mainstream media question is, which is the most appealing job and which is the least? I have answers.
Okay. Most appealing. I think you could go one of 2 ways, but I think it's pretty clear 2 for me. I'm trying to decide. Yeah. Pretty clear 2. Atlanta or New York?
Bingo, bango. Those are absolutely 1 and 1, 1 and 2.
And this is where I think you can go with either one, because guess what, Gil? One has got a great roster in Atlanta, but lacks a quarterback. The other one, you'd believe in the young quarterback, and it lacks the rest of their roster.
I'll even add one more for Atlanta. Not only do I think they have a sneaky good defense,
mm-hmm.
not only do they have those great skill players on offense, but you're right, there is no, the quarterback is the problem.
Yeah.
But because they did the head coach / GM firing, that just inherently is a more appealing job.
Well, that's a good point.
Rather than coming, so the Giants, it is New York City. You got those great players on offense in Dart, Scadabo, and Neighbors, all coming back next year. But Joe Shane is still in charge, and so there is that sort of little knock where you're like, well, I still have to really, I don't call the shots here, but I still think it's number 2. And then 3, 4, 5, 6, man, you can pick your order. But I will say 6 is probably,
it's Titans.
Arizona might be the worst.
Ooh, I'm going Titans.
Yeah. Arizona, you have a quarterback issue.
You know what's funny is neither one of us mentioned Raiders. And you know what went through my mind? I actually think Raiders would be number 2 for me, or the worst, number 5.
Yeah.
But you know what did click in my mind, as much as we kind of make fun of this sometimes, like Vegas more so than like being stuck in Nashville. Like that's.
Well, you can bet on these Raiders next head coach odds. And remember, Tom Brady going to be more involved now, he says. Clint Kubiak is your favorite at -195. Robert Saleh, minus 164. With Robert Saleh get another shot here? Remember, he was the Jets head coach, went back to being a solid coordinator with the Niners. Injuries, though, plagued him. Minus 164 to take the Raiders' job. Jesse Minter was one of the rumored folks who might get the Michigan gig, but Michigan decided to obviously sort of say, well, maybe we should completely part ways with the Harbaugh link. Let's go a completely different direction there. There is Cliff Kingsbury at minus 123 on the list now.
Who has moved to the favorite, according to
him. Oh, he has moved to the favorite.
Minus 300.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Bam. So someone's betting Clint Kingsbury. Now, again, is it a reflection of reality? Who knows? And how much did it take to move that from minus 123 to minus 300? $50? I don't know.
Yeah, we have no idea.
We have no idea. Brian Flores at plus 117. Here's my thing. You should hire Brian Flores. Brian Flores should be the number one choice of any team, period. Mike McCarthy, $8. Joe Brady, 13-1.
I want to bring up something. We say Brian Flores. You and I have always been big Brian Flores fans.
And we also just showed the Cleve stats, right?
Yeah.
The Vikings face the fewest. Yeah. 30, 31, 32 EPA quarterback.
I do want to say something, though, that I didn't hear many on mainstream media saying yesterday when they were, like you said, the same question gets tossed out. Which team and which coach? Man, there was a lot of individual thinkers that were coming to the conclusion of Brian Flores. And it's, well, we did get a report, right? We got a report that Tom Brady is interested and the Raiders are interested in him. Like, Brian Flores is an extremely fascinating case when it comes to NFL head coaching. He's suing the NFL and multiple teams in it. Like, there is a reason besides his coaching ability why he has not been brought up the past couple years for many of these jobs. I couldn't believe how many people I was seeing yesterday be like, well, I think Brian Flores should get a shot this year. It's like, well, yeah, because you just read a report 3 hours ago that the Raiders are connected to him.
Clint Kubiak is also the short shot for the Falcons job. Kevin Stefanski's name comes up for that one next at 4-1. Chris Shula, Mike McCarthy, remember him? Matt Nagy, why? Joe Brady. Joe Brady's last in both of these for the Falcons. Where are these available, by the way?
These are Kalshi.
And with Kalshi, you get a no price. By the way, that's a lot of people in these awards markets saying, like, what's the proper hedge? Go to Kalshi and bet nose, right? That's your straightest hedge on a lot of these when it's multiple markets like this. Multiple markets.
I'll give you an example. Like I could have grabbed Trevor Lawrence for comeback player of the year at 7-1. I just got a no on CMC at 7-1.
So there you go.
And for me,
yeah,
it leaves open the small sliver of a window. If Dak cashes tickets for me, then I win both.
On that Falcons board, so there's no Brian Flores, there's no Cliff Kingsbury. Who would you want? Clint Kubiak, offensive coordinator with the Seahawks. Kevin Stefanski just ousted as the Browns coach, head coach. Mike McCarthy's been on the beach for a year or two.
Man, this is gonna sound boring to say, but like,
why does Nagy keep coming up? Seriously,
he is supposedly going to be one of the guys that's in the discussions for some of these. Stefanski at 4-1 does jump out. I know it's going to be easy to say for a lot of these next team.
Chris Shula, by the way, the Rams defensive coordinator, is an interesting choice.
Yep, I'm surprised Clint Kubiak's that short. Do we really think he's? I guess I haven't gotten a read that he's going to jump.
We don't have a GM to know what the tie is, if there is any, in Atlanta. That's the difference.
I mean, look, I think with the talent that they have, I do think Stefanski makes more sense in Atlanta than he would in other places.
What I love about Kalshi, though, is, again, they are reading the bets. They're not artificially moving anything, right? It's moves based on bets. So that's why you see the Kingsbury move right after the news of him being gone from Washington's OC position. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. I just have to comment on this one thing because this could only happen to certain franchises. But we have to bring this up. I think most of you know that the former Oakland Athletics, by way of Sacramento, will eventually, how it's supposed to go, will eventually end up here in Las Vegas.
Yes.
That's the plan, right? Latter part of this decade.
Do you get further reporting on what I brought up to you earlier?
No, but we haven't talked about it on air. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, has denied the A's trademarks for Las Vegas Athletics and Vegas Athletics. It denied. The Patent and Trademark Office found the trademarks, quote, primarily geographically descriptive, meaning they are not eligible for registration. Now, what does that phrase mean? Is that it's too tied to Oakland for them to allow it?
Say it again?
The reason for not granting them the Las Vegas Athletics and Vegas Athletics trademarks, which you would think would be something they would think about in advance. They found the trademarks primarily geographically descriptive. A geographically descriptive mark may acquire distinctiveness when the consuming public recognizes the mark as identify the source of a product or service. So one such situation is when the mark reflects the geographic source of the product or service, known as geographic descriptiveness. So I read that to mean it's so tied to Oakland that they're not giving them that.
I just pulled up another article.
Yeah.
And it says, because it's too generic. So basically says the word athletics is too generic.
Well, pick your reason. They ain't getting it.
shout out to Wyatt Tomchek who brought that up. But by the way, if this camera was just on me while Gil was reading, this is my look.
Yeah. Well, that's right. You looked at me
like
I'm an alien.
My brain hurts whatever you just read. Wyatt Tomchek bringing this to our attention. This is... And I'm like, why? Like, don't we know this team well enough by now? They could just be the A's. Like, do they really have to be the Athletics? Can't they just be the A's?
Well, if the reason is yours that it's so descriptive or so
generic, yeah,
or mine that it's geographically descriptive, either one that doesn't work either.
It is like bizarre though that this. So the A's name, a nod to the Athletic Baseball Club of Philadelphia, which spent a lone season as a National League team before folding in the wake of the 1876 campaign. Like, yeah, I don't know. I'm okay with an update. I'm okay with it. 1876.
That's the most A story ever, by the way. We get tweets beating the book. Primetime. Cowboys _ Cubs 1. Yo, hey, man. Wine 101 class is in session. Everybody knows Boone's Farm Strawberry and MD 2020 Orange Jubilee are the tops, kid. I think we'd all agree on that. StatLogic Sports. Conversations between Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. Adam Peters. Hey, Dan, either you go or they go. Dan Quinn, thanks for your support. I'm in. I'm all in. Jack Olaquire. Gil and Kelly, thanks for taking the time yesterday after your show to chat for a few minutes with us. Really appreciate visiting with you guys. Best show on VSiN, he says. Thank you, Jack. It's great seeing you guys. Jack, Jim, and Jeff. All the Olaquire brothers were there yesterday.
Yes. I saw them as well when I left.
With Ryan, who is not an Olaquire brother. Durbin, P224. You going to have Todd do a reenactment broadcast of Pittsburgh-Baltimore fourth quarter on the Megapod?
Oh, God.
Be sure to send an oxygen tank to the Cork Attic ahead of time. Be sure to do that. Todd will be on the on a numbers game tomorrow. But yes, Megapod Thursday, beating the book Megapod, wildcard edition. Drew Dinsick, our guests, Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and I. And then also tomorrow on the show, I don't think I said this on air yet, Aaron Schatz, maybe I did say it. Aaron Schatz is on tomorrow. Aaron Schatz, the creator of DVOA, who is making his annual post-regular season pre-playoff appearance on the show tomorrow. We will talk about all things DVOA. He's also an awards voter. So like Mina Kimes, he is 2% of the entire vote, one of the 50. So we will get that from Aaron. At least he's not as open as Mina is with the awards, but he'll sort of let us know who he's choosing between kind of thing on that stuff. Again, it's still up some spots. Like FanDuel, you can still bet on this stuff. But some of the DVOA historicals, man, did you see some of this stuff?
I did not see that Cowboys one you said earlier. That's wild.
Cowboys, fourth worst defense in the history of DVOA.
I'm old enough to remember when there was like a month period when we were all talking about how much better the Cowboys defense was getting, and watch out.
Want some others here?
Yeah.
Patriots, third easiest schedule in the history of DVOA going back to 1978. This one has nothing to do with DVOA, but I should have seen this with points scored and points given up. Kansas City Chiefs end up with the fifth biggest underperformance in terms of what their record was based on points scored and points allowed this year. 6-11 record, but they were plus 34, I guess that is, in point differential. There's tons of these. Best DVOA to miss the playoffs since 1978. The Detroit Lions of this year were the 7th best team to miss the playoffs ever. And the Colts, he says, were the 10th best team ever to miss the playoffs. You can go on and on with this stuff. Oh, best team with a losing record ever. This year's Colts.
Hmm.
I don't know if I buy that with the Colts, do you?
I don't buy that one either, but that's the Colts were always pulled by the DVOA numbers in a way that I don't really remember seeing in the past few years. Like, they jumped out to that early on. It was, they flew up those rankings and kind of hung around there then the whole time.
Well, there's more of those, but we'll save them for Aaron tomorrow, including the conundrum that was the New York Jets this year. Incredible.
Just like read more about that A's thing. It's wild. Oh, did you ever see, I'm sure you have it, but like, have you ever seen the South Park episode, the Washington Redskins South Park episode?
Oh, I think someone said that.
Because when the team got brought down, they didn't have the copyright or trademark anymore. Yeah. And it's like, that's part of the A's story. It's like, they're so worried about people just stealing up all, everything that the A's could call themselves here.
Oh boy. Here's the bets, by the way. Recapping mine from guessing lines, Bears -1 versus the Packers. I hear it's Bears -1.5 now. I know what you're hearing. I'm looking at it.
Yep.
Jaguars money line versus the Bills. Niners, I did not get the best of it, though. I got the Niners +3.5. I thought it might tick down. Didn't. Went the other way. And then I have the Chargers +3.5 and the Chargers sprinkle on the money line. Sprinkle me, man. Luke Riley says the Athletics is not a specific enough name for recognition as an independent entity. There are most likely several athletic clubs based in Vegas that may even use the name. Trademarks have to be exclusive, and their name is not unique enough. They should add baseball. Well, I'm just reading the articles. I said it had nothing to do with
it. So, what was funny was the term, and I read the term too. It was like, it felt like it was the exact opposite. Like, it was the geographical descriptive or whatever. It's like, no, it needs to be more descriptive.
Oh, well. Bijan, Offensive Player of the Year, 150-1. Mike McDonald, Coach of the Year at 9-1. Let's go, Mike McDonald. Let's go, Mina Kimes.
Michael McDonald.
I like her vote. What's your favorite Doobies or Michael McDonald song?
No, I don't know. That one in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Which one was that?
I don't remember. It's one of the Paul Rudd.
Super Bowl finalist Chargers.
Y'all will be there.
Y'all will be there. Chargers Rams 28-1. Chargers Niners in the Super Bowl 66-1. I might add another this week. I probably will. And then Indiana win the college football playoff at 10-1. Let's go, Hoosiers. Let's make up for a lot of heartache on this. Oh, and here's my NBA ones from when the Spurs took down the Thunder in their most recent meeting. I couldn't take it anymore in the first quarter. Spurs to win the NBA Finals 19-1. Spurs Celtics NBA Finals matchup 125-1.
I like the Spurs. Yeah, I like that Spurs Celtics. Exactly. It's a good one. I'm going to be shopping around. I can't. Missoula's like third right now for Coach of the Year. That doesn't check out with me. He should be like one.
What a strange guy he is.
Yes, he is. That he is. Yeah. All right. NBA today, Wizards +7.5. Just one for me. I did add James Pierce Jr. to win Defensive Rookie of the Year yesterday, +566. Also, Drake May with an MVP bet for me. Just a bit of a Stafford hedge there. NFL this weekend did add one of these. As you said, that Bears-Packers line has been moving around, so I was able to tease up both sides. Packers up to 7.5 with the Jags, and Bears up to 7.5 with the Jags. Two different teasers there. Also on the Jags money line, Eagles laying 3 at 115, and Texans laying 3.
All right, bevy of picks from all our guests. Jake Hahn on the NHL. Avalanche tonight, money line at the Lightning. Islanders is a slight dog on the money line versus the Devils. Stars-Canes, Stars-Hurricanes. Hurricanes, as our buddy Andy McNeil used to say, Stars Hurricanes under 6.5, a total under in that one. Then the props in that Dallas game, Jake Oettinger over 26.5 saves. For the Leafs, Joseph Woll over 26.5 saves. Anaheim's Beckett Senecky at 1+. Toronto's Austin Matthews over 3.5 shots on goal. And then in Edmonton, Zach Hyman, tribesman, over 2.5 shots on goal. You'll have to lay a little bit of juice for that one. James Patrick Root, college hoops tonight. South Carolina +7.5 at LSU in an SEC clash. Michigan, just rolling teams, -20.5 at Penn State. 20.5, not enough on the road, according to Jim. And then Oklahoma State, -3.5 in their ball game a little later on tonight as well. Then Drew Dinsick, Mavericks tonight in the NBA, -5.5 at the Kings. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Erickson. He's on the Eagles wildcard weekend, -4.5 versus the Niners. Chargers Patriots under. He's also got props. Juwan Jennings in the Niners game, -42.5 receiving yards. Hunter Henry, -44.5 receiving yards in the Pats game. And Pat Freiermuth, +34.5 receiving yards for the Steelers in their finale Monday night wildcard weekend. Prop Points is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.